scriptures. I pray now that our minds will be opened, but more importantly, Lord, that our ears and our heart will be opened. That not only will we hear your word, but I pray, Lord, that as I proclaim your word this morning, that you'll indeed bless it, and that it will be heard with mercy and grace. For it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. So, Natalie and I went to my senior class reunion last night in Crossville. Now, she was not part of that class. She's not from Crossville. So, she dutifully went and indulged as I associated with some people that when we pulled up, she said, "Do you know those people walking down there toward the building?" I said, "No, but they sure do look old." She said, "Don't you say that again tonight." Because she said, "We are one of them." And she's correct. And it's amazing. By the way, this is my 60th class reunion. So I'm older than I look. I realize that. Or either I'm younger than I look. One or the other. But it's amazing as we gathered, and most of us would look at each other's face, and then we would look at our name tag. Because for some of us, we hadn't seen each other since the night we graduated. Now, we've had class reunions every 5 years. I think this was my third or fourth one. But for some of us that were left right after high school and joined the military, for some of us, this was the first time they had actually come back to a class reunion. There were people there from all over that wound up settling where they did and did stay in Crossville. And there is a pretty good group of them that stayed in Crossville all their lives. But, you know, I was thinking about this later, that when we were in high school, we spent 4 years there together. And it was a big class. If you can imagine, I went to elementary school in a school that had about 200 in the whole school. I went to Crossville the first year we consolidated the school system, the high schools up there, and I went from that little school of about 200 to a school of 1,400. And there was over 300 of us in our freshman class. But you wind up developing friends in the classes that you go to, and you wind up developing a core of friends. And there was probably a core of 25 or 30 of us that really hung out together a lot. And you think, as you go through school, you think, okay, when we graduate, we're going to see each other all the time. And then life happens. Life changes. Life changes your plans. Some of us didn't go to college. Some of us went to the military. Some of us went to work. Some of us got moved around different parts of the country. But so last night was kind of a realization that, you know, even though we had those close friendships then, seeing each other for that one night sort of rekindled those relationships. And so I'm getting to where I'm going with the sermon too, once I get through this. But it has a bearing on what Peter is saying here. Because Peter says, "I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in this tent of body, because I know that I will soon put it aside. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always remember these things." So after 60 years, we can remember some of the things that we knew about these people. And for a lot of us, it was catching up on things. How many of us have such an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that no matter where we are or what we're doing, we think of him as being with us? Because he is. When we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, One of his great promises is that we accept him by faith, but then he becomes a part of us. He sends us the Holy Spirit. It's his Spirit to live within us, to guide us wherever we are. So whatever we're going through, and even though we may be in a whole different part of the country from where he is with us. He's with each one of us. And we have that, and what does it take to have that relationship with him? And I can tell you that George Barna, in his research, would tell us that probably less than 50% of Christians have this relationship. Less than 50% of Christians will read the Word between the time it is now read by the preacher and next Sunday when you come back and it's read by the preacher again. And that's kind of a sad account of where we are as a church, because research also shows that almost every home has at least five Bibles in it. We are a generation that have more access to the Scripture. I mean, not only do we have the Bibles, we have these little things. Most of us can have a Bible app on here that anywhere we are, we can stop and we can pull it up and we can read what the Scripture says on our phone. We have unlimited resources on TV of great ministers on there, great Bible studies on there. And yet, statistics show that we don't always have that same relationship with Jesus Christ that he desires of us. He desires for us to have that relationship. But Peter, in his infinite wisdom, and Peter's, both of his letters are not written to a specific church, but it is to the church as a whole. If you read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "To those who through the righteousness of God and Savior Jesus Christ have received faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." So Peter goes on to say then in verse 3, he says, "His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness." So God gives us everything we need. We have the tools. But sometimes it's difficult to use those tools, isn't it? I started years ago after when I first, let's put it this way. When I first accepted Jesus Christ, I didn't get real active in the church. And it was probably several years before I did. And once I started getting more active in the church, I had made this determination that I was going to read through the Bible. I want to see what the Bible has to say all the way through it. So I started reading the Old Testament, and I thought, maybe I'll skip and read the New Testament first. So I read the New Testament, and that went pretty good. I went back to the Old Testament, picked it up, started reading it again, and got to the prophets, and I quit. I didn't understand what those prophets were talking about. I'm going through it again now. After being a Christian for, 55 years, I'm just now going through it again. I know it's hard for a minister to admit that they haven't read all the way through it. But after years of teaching Sunday school, preparing lessons for Sunday school, and then entering the ministry and preparing sermons and Bible studies, as I read through it now, I understand it better. I say better. There's an old song that we sing, "We'll understand it all better by and by." That's true. The longer that we live, the longer that we study God's Word, we will gain more understanding from it. And sometimes it takes what I call grunt work. Grunt work of just reading the Bible, figuring out what he's talking about, praying about it, meditating on it, and then actually just be silent and let God speak. It's amazing sometimes, and I used to hear people say, God speaks to me. And I'm thinking, I've never had that experience. In fact, I can remember when I was still on the road, selling lamps, and I was talking to this guy one day. He was a decorator, and I said, he asked me, he says, are you a Christian? I said, yes. He said, have you ever had a Holy Spirit experience? And I thought, maybe. And he said, let me tell you about mine. He said, the Holy Spirit came on me one morning. He said, I cried and I prayed for 3 days. And I'm thinking, I've never had an experience like that. But then I've had times where I could just experience God audibly talking to me. When I accepted the call to the ministry, I was actually filling in at a small church, and I was an elder in the Smithville church. Jonathan was still the pastor there, and I was filling into his church, and I was driving home one day, and right out of the blue, God spoke to me, you're going in the ministry. And I thought, God, you must be joking, because I had a plan for my life. And it did not include going into the ministry. You see where I'm at now. So there are times when God speaks to us. And sometimes what he asks us to do is not easy. In fact, when he asked me to go into ministry, I thought, this is going to be a hard pill to swallow. Because I was doing really well where I was at. And I didn't really want to move and go into the ministry, but I wound up doing it anyway, partly thanks to Jonathan. But so Peter in this letter, he says you have everything that you need. You have the power to live a godly life. But then he goes on and he gives us some steps to lead us to a godly life. He says in verse 5, he says, for this reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance to godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Now, it is possible, and that you may not agree with this, but it's possible. You can, by faith, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. You can come down front. You can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. You can admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. And you can come down front. You can accept Jesus Christ. You can be accepted into the kingdom of God. You can be baptized. You can walk back to the pew and you can sit just like this the rest of your life. And you know what? You still go to heaven. Because we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ and not by our works, right? So you can sit there and you can do this. But do we live the life that Jesus is wanting us to live because we have just accepted the power of His Holy Spirit into our life? He has just told us we have everything we need to become a godly Christian and to be effective in our witness. How many of us do not witness because we're afraid? And I think I hit some of this last week. How many of us do not witness because we're afraid that we will not have the words to say to somebody? Well, I'll give you a clue. When we witness to someone, it's not us that saves them. It is God Himself who saves them. It is in God's power. It's just like we were talking about in our prayer earlier about healing in a hospital. It is in God's power to heal. Now, He may give us tools and He may give us doctors, and we may thank a doctor for healing us. And the reality is, it is God who does the healing. It is God who does the saving. So if we want to live a godly life, we start doing these things that Peter says here, and he says he's going to remind us of these things as long as he lives. Now, I think what he is also saying is, you need to preach this in the church often. We need to be reminded of these things. And these things, if you can make a picture, it's kind of like a ladder. I picture it in my little human concept. My little human brain sometimes doesn't always understand everything, but I can picture a ladder. And coming to faith in Christ is taking that first step up the ladder. Then we start adding to that, and we keep climbing up. And you notice that when you get to the top of it, it is love. What does it take to love someone? You know, most of us are married. You know what it takes to love someone in a marital relationship. In a marriage relationship, each of us has faults. Each of us have baggage that we brought to that marriage. Each of us have to forgive each other a lot. It's never 50-50. It is always 100% give to each other. That's what makes a marriage a godly marriage, is when we can give each other up, and it's also a godly marriage when we forgive each other. Because you know what? We're going to make mistakes. I guarantee you we will make mistakes. I guarantee you we will hurt each other. You know what comes after making a mistake? You ask for forgiveness. Once you ask for forgiveness, that person has to forgive you, or you can't survive in a relationship. Guess what? Same thing is true in this congregation. There is not a perfect person. Let me say this. Let me back up. The Bible says there's not a perfect person in this congregation. Each of us are sinful. Each of us fall short. And so in order for us to worship together, in a relationship together, we have to forgive each other, because there are going to be times when we hurt each other. Maybe not intentional, but when we hurt each other, we have to ask for forgiveness, and then we have to receive forgiveness. Look how many times did Jesus forgive us for sins we did? A bunch of times. It's His grace and His mercy that pours out into our life that enables us to live in a relationship with Him. But you notice that Peter puts love last. Now, all these others, and these, you can get these things, all of these attributes, you can get all at once. You can work on each one of them successfully. It all begins with faith, and it always begins with spending time here. God's Word reveals more to us that you and I need to do every day in our lives than anything else. Now, confession. I would rather watch NCIS reruns than to read this Bible. And you know what this Bible does? The NCIS reruns entertain me. You know what this Bible does? It convicts me. That's the worst part of the world. You know, it's like It's like years ago, I used to joke around a lot with my wife. And sometimes it borderlined on making fun of things she did. I bet we all do some of that, don't we? One day she told me, she says, you know, those things are really hurtful. I said, I'm sorry. She says, that's what you say every time. And you continue to do it. And there's a guilt of doing something like that to Jesus. We do something, and then we say, I'm sorry. He forgives us, and we do it again. That's a problem with sin. But in order to overcome sin, we start developing all of these qualities. Now notice what he says. He says, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past sins. That's a tough statement. Because just accusing me of being nearsighted and blind every time I continue to do the same thing over and over. That's probably not a good thing. And I find that as I grow in Christ, some of the things of the world don't tempt me like they used to. On this trip that I shouldn't tell this, I don't guess, but I will anyway, just now that I'm not here to hear it. My brother-in-law passed away a few years ago. His daughter was with us on this trip, and we got to talking about things that we did she didn't know about. One of the things Gary and I used to do is sit at the beach, and we put a cooler between us. This is years ago now. This was in our youth. We'd put a cooler between us. We'd sit there with our dark sunglasses on, and girls would walk down the beach, and we'd go like this to each other. And my niece said, y'all really did that? And Gary's wife was with us too, and she said, yeah, they did. You know, things like that today don't attract me. And one thing I was hesitant about going to my class reunion is because in years past, what we've done is we've had a time of fellowship, we had some meals, and then they started dancing and partying and drinking really heavy. Well, Natalie and I don't drink very much. I mean, we might have an occasional glass of wine or something like that, but we're not drinkers. And so I told her, I said, now when the party starts, I told her yesterday, I said, now when the party starts, we're leaving. Okay. Well, 60-year class reunion doesn't party very much. Most of us have to get home to take our medicine and get in bed because we've been up as long as we can possibly be up. So some of the things that used to be really attractive are no longer attractive, and I attribute this to what God has done in my life. Now, if God can do this in fact, one of the ladies was talking to last night, she said, where'd you go to church when you grew up? And I said, nowhere. She said, you didn't go to church anywhere? I said, no. I said, I was pretty free with the things that I did. Nothing bothered me. Joined the Air Force, nothing bothered me in there. I partied hard for 4 years. Got out and met Natalie, and we started settling down. And then, lo and behold, one day God got a hold of me. And it was one Sunday morning. And I wasn't in church. I was sitting in a tree stand deer hunting. And God got a hold of me. And I heard him say, you and your wife needs to be taking your daughter. We had about 2-year-old daughter at the time. She said, you need to be taking your daughter to church. And I sat in that tree stand for a while, and I got restless, and I got down, and walked around the ground for a while, and finally I went home. I walked in. I said, Natalie, God spoke to me out there, and he said, you need to take Elizabeth to church. She looked at him and says, I'll go when you go. That changed our life. Going to church together changed our life. I'm not sure that our marriage would have made it without what God did for both of us, especially me. Natalie was raised up in church. She'd been a Christian forever. And surprised she married me. But she did, and I thank God every day for that. So what can God do for you? He will do for you what he desires for you to be. He desires for you to be a godly person. He desires to you be a follower. He desires us to be faithful followers of him. That means not walking in front of him, not walking beside him, following him in his footsteps. And if you think about it, we need to be willing to follow him all the way to the cross. That's what he calls us to do. He never says, lead me, walk beside me. He says, follow me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, your word is so wonderful. It is so inspiring. It is so helpful. Your word helps us in time of trouble, in time of turmoil, in times of joy, in times of good times. But your word is always there for us. Your presence is always there in our life. The presence of your Holy Spirit enables us to do things that we would never have been able to do. You made us a part of your kingdom. You called us out of this world to be a part of your kingdom. A kingdom where we live, we worship you, we serve you, all the days of our life, wherever we are. So, Father, we thank you. And we ask you, Lord, that as we prepare to end this service today, if there's anyone here who has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord, that they've never stepped out with that first step of faith, I pray that today would be that day. So, Father, we praise you and we thank you. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.